Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, June 5th, episode 59 of our podcast. Today, we're getting to three topics. Number one, small picture. We'll preview game number one of the NBA Finals, which tips off Thursday night as Dallas, as a 6.5-point underdog, heads to the TD Bank Garden to take on the Boston Celtics. Next, we go big picture. After I tell you my game thoughts for game one of my props and my predictions, we're going to go who I think wins the series. I'll try to give you an exact score of the series, and then I'll give you some series-long props, a way to have a little bit of fun as the NBA Finals gets ready to tip off on Thursday. And lastly, we'll head to the WNBA. We got to talk about Caitlin Clark almost every week because she's the biggest story in the WNBA. But today, I'm not going to focus on Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese or Kennedy Carter. I'm going to focus on Kristy Seides, the head coach at Indiana Fever. Folks, I think our time is ticking with the Indiana Fever. Let's get started with game number one of the NBA Finals set to tip off Thursday night. We're finally here. Oh, my God, folks. Almost waited a week for this as the Dallas Mavericks head to Boston to take on the Boston Celtics. Celtics 6.5-point favorites, over under 213.5. And it's going to be intriguing, this game, because you have so many different storylines, right? You have Kristaps Porzingis coming back from injury. Hasn't played since April 29th. What can the big fella give Boston? Two, can Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, can they finally get over the hump with all the years and the experience down the pipe, right? The addition of Jrue Holiday, how is that going to impact this team in regards to can they get the job done? A guy like Al Horford, decorated career, can he finally get that championship ring? But on the flip side, you got to look at Dallas. Luka Doncic, arguably one of the top five players in the world. I had him fourth, if you remember, before the season started, my top 10. Could Luka Doncic literally be the number one player in the world if they win a championship? Kyrie Irving. So much has been said about Kyrie over the course of his career. But the amazing thing, folks, is we're not talking about the world is flat, COVID vaccines, you know, suspensions, you know, comments, not being with the team. Kyrie's just balling. You look at a guy, a young guy like Derek Lively, it's a rookie, the impact he's made. Daniel Gafford, you know, and PJ Washington, the trades they made. And then Jason Kidd, who was the championship point guard the last time Dallas won a championship in 2011, is now the head coach of Mavs. But and officially back to Kyrie. Kyrie back at TD Bank Garden. Oh, my Lord, you would think it's Days of Our Lives. But it ain't a soap opera. This is real life. So when you talk about game number one, with Boston being a 6.5-point favorite, what is my place? Number one, I'm going to go with the Mavericks plus the 6.5. I truly believe, folks, I really believe this, that Boston not, and it's not Boston's fault. You can only control who you can play, right? Going against teams that are not fully stocked and healthy. The fact that they have to integrate Porzingis back in, and the fact of the way that this team plays in Dallas, I think they're good enough defensively, folks, that they can keep the game close. Close enough that I do like Dallas plus the 6.5 points in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if they won game one. So if you want to look at it on the money line right now, according to BetMGM, they are 2-1. They're plus 200 on the money line. Remember, folks, everything we do at Betting Above the Rim, all of our lines are from BetMGM, who is our partner for not only the podcast, but the Betting Above the Rim show, which obviously is Saturday and Sundays, 1 to 3 p.m., only on Sports Grid and Sirius Channel 159. So I like Dallas plus the 6.5. Next, when you start going to props, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. Now, when you look at Kyrie, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, and I think Kyrie's going to have a phenomenal series. But to me, I am focusing on Kyrie Irving's rebounds. I'm going to go Kyrie Irving over 3.5 rebounds in the matchup. A Kyrie Irving that has gone over 8 of the last 15 games, 4 out of the last 5 matchups that he has had versus Boston, he has gone over this. And if I'm not mistaken, all 3 times that he's been a member of the Dallas Mavs, he's gone over this 3.5 rebounds. Kyrie Irving over 3.5 rebounds in game number 1. Last play, PJ Washington over 10.5 points. I'm going to get to his series long predictions in a little bit. And make sure you shop around because it has moved to 11.5. Either way, as long as it is 11.5 or 10.5, I am going to go over that for PJ Washington. If you look at PJ Washington, he's gone over it, I do believe, in 5 or 6 out of his last 10 games. And I look at PJ Washington as a head-to-head matchup, and he's gone over the last 6 times he's faced Boston, he has gone over this prop. Granted, only one occasion has been as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. The other times were members of the Charlotte Hornets. But even in that game versus Boston on March 1st, PJ Washington, 17 points. His ability to stretch the floor as a three-point shooter. The fact that Boston may want to try and take away Luka and Kyrie, a guy like PJ Washington, especially with that corner dagger 3 from the left side, that's something you want to look at for game number 1. Folks, I can't touch the over 1.5 three-pointers made at minus 190 on BetMGM. I can't, even though I think he's going to get there. So if you think about this, folks, if he gets 2 threes, he's at 6 points right there. I just need 6 points the rest of the way. Put back, dunk, layup, transition, free throw, whatever. I just think for the value, I'm not going to do PJ Washington to make over 1.5 made threes. I just think the safer bet right now, FanDuel, over 11.5 points at minus 110. So once again, my plays, Mavericks plus 6.5, Kyrie Irving over 3.5 rebounds, PJ Washington, it says 10.5. It right now is 11.5 points, folks. Like I said, if it's 11.5 or 10.5, go over. If it's 12.5, by the time you place the bet, I would stay away. Maybe play the game live after it starts and let it drop to 11.5. Now, let's go big picture, right? Right now, according to BetMGM, Boston Celtics are a minus 225 favorite, Dallas Mavericks plus 180. This has not really moved much. And, you know, people can say, well, Porzingis is back. Well, the reason why it hasn't moved is I think everybody, including sports books, knew that KP was going to be back for the finals. So who do I like to win the NBA championship? Folks, I like the Dallas Mavericks at plus 180 to win the NBA title. If you want to look at it as how many games, I like the Dallas Mavericks to win the series 4-2 at plus 400. I just think it's too tall of a task to ask Dallas to win game 7 at the Boston Garden. Think about my age when I was a kid, the TD Bank Garden. Here is why I like Dallas. Simply put, I think Luka Doncic is going to be on an absolute mission. A Luka Doncic that was not playing well, particularly early on in the postseason, has really turned it on as of late. You can look at four of the last 5 games, he has scored at least 32 points. And I think he is going to be a problem for a player like a Drew Holiday. Now, people can sit here and talk about Luka Doncic and say, well, you know, a guy like the best defender in the NBA. You know, and I think that's something to be said about that. I think Drew is the best in the NBA. But if you look at Luka Doncic, I'm just going to read. Okay, got to remember this is Drew Holiday as a member of the Bucks, as a member of the Pelicans, and a member of the Celtics. I am just going to read off, I would say, every game since 2018-19 season. Ready? 22-8-4, 31-21-9. I'm sorry. 8-6-4-6. Bad game. 21-9-10, 34-2-3, 25-10-10, 33-18-5, 26-6-9, 30-17-10, 28-10-13, 27-9-9, 32-8-15, 27-5-12, 33-6-11, and the two games this regular season, 33-18-13, 37-12-11. Folks, it don't sound like Drew Holiday is locking up Luka Doncic. So right then and there, I think Luka Doncic is the best player in the series, and I do think you'll have a matchup in which Drew Holiday will guard Luka Doncic because I think Derek White is too small. So let's look at the next matchup, and that's going to be pivotal, and that is the matchup, I would say, at the guard spot between Kyrie Irving and Derek White. If you look at the one time they have played against or versus each other, or two times, I should say, they've played against each other this season. Kyrie Irving, 19-4-2, 23-6-3. But the things I look at with Kyrie is out of the matchups he's had, let's see, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 out of the 12 matchups, he shot 45% or more from the field, right? And then you start looking at the three-pointers. He has not shot it great, but I think Kyrie, folks, is at peace. And he's playing ball, and that's all he's doing. I think Kyrie Irving's going to have a huge series, and I will not be shocked if Kyrie Irving is the MVP of this series. He is a walking bucket. Him and Luka have figured out how to play each other first, second side of the floor. And folks, I don't think Jason Kidd is getting enough credit for this Dallas Mavericks team. That's part three why I like Dallas, because I like the coaching advantage. I feel that Jason Kidd, who I now think is firmly a top five to top 10 coach in the NBA, has over Joe Mazzulla. Now, Joe Mazzulla, obviously, has done a great job in Boston these 2 years, but this is the first time he's in the finals. I know Jason Kidd hasn't been a coach in the finals, but he's been a player in the finals and a point guard. And a point guard, to me, is an extension of the floor. So because of the play, I think of Luka, the play of Kyrie, the coaching advantage of Jason Kidd over Joe Mazzulla, the fact that I feel how Gafford and P.J. Washington have integrated perfectly into this. And to me, I think Boston's bench, Horford, Pritchard, Hauser, Cornette, may get exposed a little bit in this series. I like the Dallas Mavericks at plus 180 to win the NBA championship. And I like them 4-2 because of the ability for them to close this series out at home. I think this is going to be a dynamic and fantastic series, folks. Please buckle up. Speaking of buckling up, let's talk about series long props. And there's a couple of series long props that I want people to be aware of. Number one, PJ Washington. You heard me talk about his 11.5 points in game number one, taking the over, or 10.5, right? But BetMGM has an interesting prop. PJ Washington to score 10 or more points in every game this series. That line is right now at a plus 350. And I think it's something that is of, I think it value and importance to me, because when you look at it, I think PJ Washington can get loose. A PJ Washington, folks, which I think I'm just kind of pulling up as I count. Ready? PJ Washington, I think it's the last eight games, PJ Washington has played against Boston, 10 points or more. This year, 17. That was the one time he played for as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. But go back to his days with the Hornets. 15, 17, 17, 14, 16, 17, 16. Folks, the numbers aren't even close. He hits it every time. Quarter three, Kyrie and Luka create. His preseason points per game average is 13.6. PJ Washington, 10 plus points in each game at plus 350. Now, I want to explain something to you, something, folks. The way you do it is you play this series long bet. And let's say it gets to game number five. If you want to cover yourself, you can put a couple of bucks on him to go, you know, under 10 points or less. Under 10 points. So there's ways you could do it at the end of the series if he starts hitting. I fully expect plus 350, PJ Washington, 10 plus points in each, remember folks, each game of the NBA Finals. Next, we're going to go to the rebounding market. And I want people to hear me out. Because this is, as a coach, and I want people to understand this, what I try to bring unique to the table to this industry is I do not lean as much on stats as much as others or analytics. I rely on, honestly, folks, my basketball background and how players and styles make fights. So when you look at this NBA Finals, the favorite, I do believe, to lead in rebounding is Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum, who does rebound really, really well, particularly when it comes to the Finals, I can understand him being minus money. But if he's got to worry, and he's minus 140 right now, so just so people know, Jason Tatum minus 140, not taking him. Luka Doncic plus 175, not taking him. I'm going to the next guy for each team. So the reason why I'm not taking Tatum is he's got to worry about PJ Washington. All right? When you think about Luka Doncic, he's got to do so much scoring and stuff that I could see him sacrificing a little bit of rebounding. The two guys I'm going to take have the next best odds to lead the series in rebounds. Remember, folks, this is total rebounds, not rebounds per game. So if someone gets hurt in game number one, you're done. Derek Lively at 12-1. Kristaps Porzingis at 16-1. Lively will be active on the offensive boards. And he's athletic enough to guard the pick and pop and still crash and get the rebound. By him crashing to get the rebound, that can allow either Luka or Kyrie to be the outlet guy, the other guy to flap the floor. Jones Jr. could run another wing or be a trail, and PJ Watson could spread the floor. Because of his offensive rebounding acumen and the fact that I think he's going to play big minutes. And the fact that especially when he's being guarded by Al Horford, he'll be able to take advantage of him offensively, defensively on the boards. My first pick is Derek Lively at 12-1. Now to KP. Simply put, told you Tatum's got to guard the three-point line with PJ Washington. Maybe sometimes with Derek Jones. Sometimes with Maxi Kleber. But who is KP guarding? Lively? Gafford. Neither one of them will be at the top of the key because they're not pick-and-pop guys. They're pick and roll guys, and they're guys in the dunk spot. Dunk spot being you drive it, they're on the opposite block, you help, you dump it, there's the dunk. We call that the dunk spot. So because you're dealing with a pick and roll guy in Gafford and Lively, and the fact that I don't know how effective Al Horford could be in this series because of the fact of his lack of speed, those guys can beat him up and down the court, and the fact that I think Al may struggle to keep them off the boards, I see there's a pathway for Kristaps Porzingis, who is not a big rebounder but can do it, to get six, to lead the series in rebounding at 16-1. So when you play this, play one unit on Lively, one unit on KP. All right? So once again, my series props, PJ Washington to score 10-plus points per game at plus 350. 10-plus points in each game. Remember that. And then take one unit each and go Derek Lively at 12-1, Kristaps Porzingis 16-1 to lead the series and total rebounds. One last one. I wanted to find a way to get Luka Doncic in this. And the problem with Luka is I didn't like the rebounding prop. I'm not doing top point scorer plus, minus 190. And I'm sure as hell not doing minus 600 to lead it in total assists. So I'm going to go with Luka to lead it in three-pointers made. If you really think about Luka Doncic, right, his three-point prop, just for instance, is 3.5 at, you know, over 3.5 is minus 174, right? It's not even, and that's on other books. It's not even on the books right now, BetMGM, so make sure you check it. But the reason why I'm saying this is the volume with Luka is going to be there. A Luka Doncic that's made five or more threes, and three of his four last games, right? At least five. He's hit at least four, if I'm not mistaken, in six out of his last seven games. Now, you can sit there and say, well, Luka doesn't really shoot the ball well against the Celtics. Last four times he's played the Celtics, 3-0-2-3. Folks, Luka about to go ham in this series. Luka Doncic is about to go absolutely off in this series. And I think the safer way for me to play it is to look at the three-point prop rather than him being the leading scorer, because now I find something that is plus money. When you think about his three-point props, okay? Folks, versus Drew Holiday. Ready? I'm just going to go last 10 games. Last time they've matched up. Okay? You're going to say, uh-oh, 3-2-3-3-3-3-1-4-2-5. And you're like, oh my God, coach. It's not good. Ready? 9 attempts, 8 attempts. 11 attempts, 7 attempts. 9 attempts, 8 attempts, 7, 11, 8, 12. The last time that Luka Doncic shot less than seven three-point attempts versus Drew Holiday in a game, December of 2018. So I'm banking on the shot volume going to be there. And he'll have a couple of games where he'll go off. Plus 110, Luka Doncic to lead the series in three-pointers made. So once again, PJ Washington, 10-plus points each game. Lively, 12-1 to lead in rebounding. Porzingis, 16-1 to lead in rebounding, right? Take a unit each. And then lastly, Luka Doncic leads the series in three-pointers made at plus 110. Let's end today's podcast by talking about the biggest story in basketball, and that's Caitlin Clark. And we've gone through and talked about what happened with, you know, the Kennedy Carter stuff over the weekend. And I'm going to say something. And it's in shout out to two of the very best broadcasters or whatever you want to call them in the business. and Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. Because I thought that their talk about Caitlin Clark was so insightful. And I was afraid to touch it, but I can't. And it's not a hot take, folks. Why is Caitlin Clark so immensely popular? Folks, she's getting you 15.6 points per game. She's not even shooting the ball well. She's 36% from the floor, 30% from three. She throws the ball around the gym. Folks, why is she so immensely popular? And she's drawing ratings? Folks, stop the whole, like, I don't see color. She's white. She's white. And we have to have an honest discussion about the fact that because she is white, she is drawing another audience to the sport. No different than when Tiger Woods broke into the PGA in the late 90s, it brought blacks and minorities to golf. Do you remember 1979? Do you remember the ratings of the NBA? Do you know and remember that the NBA's finals used to be on tape delay? Why did the NBA start to rise up? Was it because of Magic Johnson? Absolutely. But the typical white fan was not going to NBA games. Go do your research. The ratings stunk. Larry Bird helped bring whites back into the sport. It's a conversation that's tough for people to have. I get it. I'm not, this is not me claiming racism or anything else. Look at the stats. Five out of the top six televised rated games on the WNBA this year all involve Caitlin Clark. The only one that doesn't was a second half of a doubleheader in which Caitlin Clark played the first game. So I just want to make sure, and Matt didn't even know I was doing this, our producer, I just want to make sure we have this conversation. And it is what it is. That being said, they are a team, the Indiana Fever, that are on national television for 36 out of 40 games. 11 out of their first, they played 11 games in 20 days. I don't know if that's ever been done by the WNBA. So this lady is very important to the league. But you know what's not going to be good for the league? If they continue to lose. And they are 2-9, they have the second worst record. I can say third first worst record. The only reason why is the LA Sparks have only played 8 games. The only team worse than them in the East is the Washington Mystics at 0-9. Folks, I'm going to say something that may not be very popular. I am worried about Christy Sides. I am worried about Christy Sides. Folks, they play Friday night against the Mystics, who have 0 wins. Did you see what happened last time the Fever played? They lost by 40. Did you see what happened the game before that, the game that they won against the Chicago Sky? Yes. Kennedy Carter checked Caitlin Clark. But you know what you didn't see, folks? You didn't see anybody come to Caitlin Clark's defense. You didn't see Christy Childs get a technical foul to defend her player. I am concerned that she's losing the team. This lady, Caitlin Clark, is your meal ticket. But people are going to have a hard time going to watch the Fever eventually if they keep losing. I'm going to come out, I'm going to say it right now. If the Indiana Fever lose that game to the Washington Mystics, I think Christy Sides gets fired. It's a different rule. It's different, folks, from going from the assistant coaching chair to the head coaching chair. Folks, I've done it on a couple of occasions. It's a lot harder than you think. And I struggled in my couple of games as a head coach because the game moves way faster when you're the head coach than if you're the assistant. Because the responsibility doesn't fall on you when you lose. It falls on your boss. Folks, what happens if I told you that Christy Sides has never been a head coach in her entire coaching career? High school? College? Overseas? WNBA. She has never been a head coach. It has got to the point where if a domino falls and they want to protect the golden goose, the first person that goes for the team is the head coach. If they don't win Friday, if I'm Indiana Fever, I'm considering firing Christy Sides. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 59. For all things sports gambling, please go download that SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be early next week. On Monday, we'll look at the beginning of the NBA Finals. We'll recap what's going on and see if we have any ways to make some money. We'll look a little bit to the college game as well, and I'll start to think about more about the NBA draft. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny, what a great job with the graphics. This is Coach Young. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Thanks. Good night.